It's Sports Talk with Darrell Yao Yi, a celebration and analysis of all codes in sports from First Nations sportsmen and women. Sports from a blackfella's perspective. Sports Talk.
All right, morning Sport Talk, Saturday morning with Darrell. Yeah, yes, my day boy, guys, take it a little bit easy on me. I've got Dan Renwey with me. How you going, brother?
Hey, good, good. Hosting the show, brother. You've stepped up.
Yeah, apprenticeship's done. Thank you very much for being the boss.
Oh, pleasure. Yeah, it's been great to have you.
I've decided to move on by myself, mate.
That's fine. You kept me here. I'm happy to be your side man.
Oh, I'm trying my best. I'll try my best. So take it easy on me, listeners. First thing up we'll talk about is Champions League.
Yeah.
Real Madrid versus Atletico Madrid. Big game.
It will be a big game. It'll be exciting. And if you had told me 6 months ago I'd be sitting here discussing soccer with you, Gerard, I'd tell you you're a fool because, mate, I was never really into to football, but you've converted me, mate. I'm a through and through fan these days, getting up and watching the games. And I can't believe just how exciting the football is, and especially the Premier League, as we saw. Leicester City wrap it up, and that was fantastic to see as well.
Yeah, I apologise for getting you up that early, mate, because the games are about 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock
in
the morning.
It's all good,
but it's all good because it's a great sport. It's a world sport. Which talked about Leicester. They finished first. Now they're going to be in Champions League next year, which is going to be crazy because some of the big sides they're going to play won't even have a clue where they live. Right?
They won't even know where the airport is in the Midlands. There, you said it before. It's going to be incredible to see how they actually stack up against those massive European sides. And you were just talking a minute ago off air about trying to keep that team together for the transfer window that's coming up.
Yeah, transfer window is a big one. It's one of my favourite parts of the year. It's where, you get to buy some big names, some big name players. There's already been players already been moved, so it's a big one. Going back to that Leicester, what do you think those players are going to be like, the big sides moving into Leicester? There's not going to be any luxury hotels out there.
No, it won't be like London, mate, that's for sure. They'll be slumming a little bit in the East Midlands there, but I'll tell you what, the Foxes are... wonderful football to side to watch, and that's I kind of guess for those people on the edge like me who just come into it thinking it's always going to be Arsenal or Manchester United to see a side like that really hooked you into the.
I'm pretty happy to see Manchester United almost be pushed out of the top four at the moment because they're my team. I do not like my little brother goes for them.
Yeah,
so.
Sure. Well, the Hammers as well, West Ham. Not looking good for those guys. And their fans were just going absolutely ballistic.
Wasn't that crazy on the weekend? The footage, if you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube. One of the players, Lingard, on the bus. There's just bottles being thrown at the bus everywhere. And another player, Borthwick Jackson, a young player for him, just sitting there like nothing happened. He must have been brought up pretty rough. Snapchatting. It looked like when the bus was getting smashed, they had a bit of protection on it, though, because there was a couple of layers falling off. So unless it was bulletproof or something.
It reminded me of what it used to be like for the Blues driving down Caxton Street.
That's pretty crazy. You know what? Talk about that. I actually got to do that Caxton Street the first year I played Origin, and it was amazing.
Drive down Caxton. Yeah, they don't do it anymore, do they?
No, they don't do it anymore, so it was amazing. A couple of moves, obviously, from Leicester.
Vardy is staying, and that's good news for the Foxes and for their fans as well, because he's a marquee player. He's getting a bit older, and he probably could go for the cash, but yeah, he's sticking around.
The movie, or maybe a movie.
They're making a movie about him, and how's this? The ticker tape parade the other day for the home fans was called the Vardy Gras.
The Vardy Gras. They just come
the Vardy Party, the Vardy Gras, and now the movie.
They can just come up with anything, can't they? Moving on to NBA. Steph Curry, what a freak.
Yeah, look, you like me, I'm sure, grew up in the 90s following that champion Chicago Bulls side, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Luke Longley. But, look, you'd have to say this Golden State side's just as good, if not better.
Well, they are better.
They are better.
On paper, they are better. They've won more. There was a stat come up the other day of Steph Curry and Michael Jordan put together, and very similar players. Very, very similar players. Obviously, Steph shooting a lot more threes than what Michael did. He was a bit more of a electrifying player, but I can't just see them being beaten this year. They're going really well. Unanimous decision.
Who's the threat? It's got to be...
Oh, look, I thought it was going to be the Spurs.
I thought it was going to be Spurs.
I thought it was going to be the Spurs.
I was hoping it would be the Spurs, Balapati and the boys.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a hard one, but you definitely see them in the finals.
They have to be there.
They have to be in the finals. MVP, Steph Curry. We'll shoot to a bit of audio of him doing his speech.
You got to be unselfish. Know that the team and team success is bigger than individual success. You got to have that trust in each other. You got to care about each other and be committed to whatever your goal is as a team. Everybody has a role and everybody has a part in team success. So we are a great testament of that. All 15 guys on the stage, we understand what it means to be a collective unit and to have fun doing what you do and playing for each other. And good things usually happen when you have that mindset.
Steph Curry, first time MVP, unanimous decision, 131-0. First time in NBA history,
well,
Dan.
It's pretty hard to get 131 people to agree on anything, especially something that's like, a little bit objective. But in everyone's mind, he's clearly the best player, and I'm sure no one disagree with that.
Steve Kerr did a speech on him as well at his award night, and he was shooting terrible from his game, and I think he was 0-10 from the three-point line. Yeah. And he shot the 11th one, got it in, and he was dancing up the sideline. And he turned to his assistant and goes, "Was he just dancing up the sideline from 1 out of 11? And he was. And that's just what a confident player he is, Steph Curry. He's a freak, and you can just see that kid's going to go far. He's still young.
How old is he?
I think he's about 24, 25.
So he's still got his best years ahead.
Oh, well, you look at someone like, Tony Parker or Tim Duncan there. He's a... Kobe Bryant. They're in late 30s, so he's got a long way to go. And if he's anything like a lot of players that play in the NBA, he'll just get better and better as well. And that's scary to see. It's very scary.
That he's going
to
get better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's taken...
He's far and away the best at the moment. He's, if he gets better, there'll be nobody can get close.
The finals, who are you tipping at the moment, who do you reckon?
In the NBA?
Mm.
Well, I can't go past Golden State. Yeah. If Steph Curry keeps his form up and the rest of the team keep producing, Bogut's playing good. They've got a great side, so I'm with Golden State all the way, but, I wouldn't be surprised if there is an upset. The years gone by, there's always been a couple of little upsets, so it could happen, but... At this stage, you'd have to back off.
I'm sticking with me Spurs, brother. Yeah. I'm staying. I'm holding on by a thread.
Yeah, holding on by a thread. They are just hanging in there. So you never know. Stranger things have happened. Leicester City won the Premier League. So
5,000-1. Yeah. So I mean, what else are you going to do? You obviously got other sides in there. OKC, the Cavs, who are cleaning up that other conference. They got LeBron in there, but he has been known to choke a little bit.
Yeah, well, he has, and he's got a lot of. Not only a lot of money, but he's got a lot of fingers in different pies. He's acting in films now. He's doing all
Space
sorts.
Jam 2.
Space Jam 2. He was in Trainwreck.
I actually
saw him in Trainwreck. He was fantastic. I was like, LeBron's got some acting chops. He can play a bit of ball, and he's got those mad sneakers too. So he's doing all right.
LeBron. Before we go to break, what do you think about Space Jam 2? LeBron James.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I'm an old school Michael Jordan, fan. I don't know. Sure, why not?
All right, up next, we've got a bit of NRL. This is Sports Talk with Jarrell Yao Yee, Alan Jackson. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. All right, welcome back. This is Sports Talk with Jarrell Yao Yee. If you've got any feedback, hit us on Facebook or email us in. We'll talk a bit of rugby league, Dan.
Yeah, plenty happening. Of course, the test match over the weekend. And mate, I always love watching Australia play, but especially when it's New Zealand. They bring so much passion to the game with the haka and all the boys getting into that as well. But it's good to see all the Kangaroo boys, stand there and show their respect.
It's still a big pinnacle in the game, isn't it, watching the haka? But we also did have a lot of other sides do their war dances in the Pacific Island matches, and they were amazing as well.
Phenomenal. I think it was the Fiji boys singing the hymn.
Yep.
Oh, man, they all knew their harmonies, and a few of the boys were even shedding a tear as well. That's how much it meant to them to represent their country and to wear that jersey, and it's awesome to see that pride and that... pride in their culture and pride in their jersey.
Those Pacific tests, I thought they outshined the Anzac test a little bit this year. I thought it was a bit of a boring game.
A bit of a bludger,
yeah.
To be honest with you. And I think that's because Australia just didn't have to lose, if that makes sense. They didn't have to try and flog the Kiwis by any sense. They just had to stop them from scoring. And that's what they did. The job was not to lose the game, and that's what they did.
They played some pretty just boring football. Now sometimes it worked, and it obviously did for them. And I think for Mal, it was just to get one out of the way for him. He was debuting in that coaching role, and look, I don't know about you, but seeing 11 Queenslanders in that side, that was it was pretty good.
Put a smile on your face. I think that's why Gus was a little bit miffed, but mate, the criticism's unwarranted. The Aussies beat them, the world champions, 16-0, kept them at a duck egg. The team is getting old, and yeah, he probably will have to make some big changes before the World Cup, but until then, they're winning games of football. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, singly, I know it's the inaugural Indigenous round this weekend. Greg Inglis, I thought, stood out in the centres, and that's where I think his position is.
Well, he's going to be playing 5/8, you know.
It's a big one. I don't know what what's going on there, but look, I think personally, his best position is in the centres. He's attacking. You know, prowess is amazing, and he just gets that opportunity to get one on one with someone and be able to create that space. And it showed him scoring a try. I know it was against Tohu Harris, but you know, not a technical sound centre, but still, he's a big boy and hard to beat. And GI showed that.
Absolutely, yeah. He's done it so many times for Queensland in the past, and for me, just looking at him at the Rabbitohs at the moment, playing at the back, he just doesn't look like he's got the time and the space that he does in the centres. He seems to find, and especially with his winger, he usually combines pretty well. He draws that extra man in. At fullback, I just don't think that that's the right move for him. And, you know, I'd like to see him more in the centres for the Bunnies.
Definitely, definitely. Probably got to move him in there, but, you know, we're no experts or anything like that, Dan, are we?
Well, I'm not.
Don't listen to us anyway. Tonga vs Samoa, amazing game.
Oh, man, there's some fantastic... you see what happens when they sort of take those structures away, the block plays and things like that, and just let them play footy.
Yep.
They've shown that they're you know, in the NRL, just how dominant they are. And then when you get them together for their nations, you unleash them, you know, unleash those shackles a little bit. And, man, the footy's exciting and it's good to see.
And it's they're playing with a passion because, they're you know, that's their country. So, you know, It's hard to see how we can't keep these games going. We need to play them at bigger stadiums, I think, because you know we get them to smaller stadiums, and it is good for the crowds. But we're living in that past where we just push those games aside and think, you know, they'll be all right there. We need to get them to the big games and the big stadiums and put them on primetime TV because I think people will watch it.
Well, if you're going to do the rep round, you've got to do it right. And I think you know having Tonga to open up the Australia and. A New Zealand game would be the perfect way to go, wouldn't it? It would be a beautiful curtain raiser like we saw with the women as well. We'll talk about that in just a minute, how good that game was. But, you know, make it a proper event for people to go to. You know,
yep.
You put it at Allianz with three big games, you know, the women's, the Samoa Tonga or the Fiji PNG, and then Australia and New Zealand is the highlight. That would be a perfect round.
Oh, definitely amazing. PNG, Fiji, just talked about it then, touched on it. What an amazing game that was. Close and tight, and big hits everywhere.
Huge hits, and you can see how passionate those PNG boys are, and I wouldn't want to be tackling them. They're all hips and knees and elbows.
They are purely just muscle. I've seen a couple of those boys in the sheds, and they are just... They're shredded. They're just
big guys.
Big boys. All they're eating is coconut and bloody
kava,
drinking kava. So they know the way to go. The women's, mate,
well,
they're just
I'll
getting
what,
better and
as,
better.
As much of a bludger as the Australia-New Zealand game was, the Gillaroos and the Ferns game was sensational. And I've heard Mark Guy talking a little bit about bringing the women's game into the forefront and maybe... having them as curtain raisers to the NRL games. What do you think about that?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's amazing. I think it would be great. As we see the under-20s sort of fade out a little bit, the girls are starting to turn it on. The women are starting to you know, put bums on seats. And
the skill set of the women is phenomenal, and I think we need to embrace it more, as you say. Put it in primetime TV. Put it in those big stadiums. Let people see it, and I'm sure
I thought it was a bit of a letdown that they played the game after... The actual game where, you know, they should have put it on TV. And I know there's Channel 9 on and blah, blah, blah. But you've got to play those games because they started to talk about the game while it was on as well. When actually I heard a lot of people actually wanted to watch it and not know the score.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it just shows how much it's getting better because they just people want to watch it.
Yeah, give people opportunity to watch it. They'll see how great the women's game is. And it's growing from what it was 10 years ago to what it is now. The women's game is going to be great. And all we have to do is nurture it and talk about it and get it on TV.
The more we see it, the bigger they get, the higher paid I think they need to be as well.
Absolutely,
because
professionalism. Yeah, needs professionalism. To be that way up of you know, sponsorship dollars, professionalism, the work part of it as well needs to come in. So the professionalism, we've seen it in the netball and in the basketball and also soccer, Australian soccer, women's soccer. So yeah, get behind it, people. Get out there and support these women in their endeavours.
Because they need it. They need it. They need all the fans they can get and the push. Shitty country, mate. What are your takes on this?
It's a bludger. And I think the only reason why I say that is because, first of all, if it was a legit game, it was a legit call up for Origin, Laurie Daly would be picking the teams.
Yeah, we talked about that last
Laurie
time,
Daly
didn't we?
Anyway, I think what he does is, what I've been told is, he tips off, say, Brad Fittler or Craig Fitzgibbon to the players he wants to see in action, and that's fair enough. I think the only person that was playing for a jersey was Bryce Cartwright.
Yeah.
He probably already had half a foot in the camp, and I think that just sealed the deal with him, showing his skill set.
He's a freak of a footy player.
He was playing second row, but he was playing first receiver a lot of the time, a few chip and chases, and mate, he's got it all, hasn't he?
He's got the ball skills of a half, mate. And to have that as
built at 110 kilo.
Exactly. And, yeah. To have that, that finesse about of a player who's playing in the second row, I can see him going a long way. And he's pretty scary if he puts that blue jersey on.
I'd be petrified if Laurie picked him off the bench or something. And him coming in 20 minutes... into an Origin game would be a scary prospect.
It's just his offloads and like you said, his ball playing ability, just his ability in general. He's a great footy player. So
another guy that I don't think gets enough raps, and I think he's probably just as deadly, is Wade Graham.
I think
he's probably due for a call up.
And he's got that mongrel in him.
He's got that Origin mongrel in him. He reminds me of, a bit of a cross between sort of Gordon Tallis and he's built for Origin, I think. He's got, as you say, second phase and all the things you want in Origin, just grit, determination. He doesn't miss too many tackles.
Parramatta saga, mate. It's almost sort of coming to an end now.
Yeah, look, and I think the biggest casualty, or the worst part about it, is to see a guy like Nathan Peets get shafted, because Peetsy's, one of our great Indigenous boys, great talent. He given his blood, sweat and tears for Parramatta. He played with a broken neck for those boys, and they've obviously sort of said to him, you don't have to go, but if you don't go, we're not playing for points. And I think it made the decision for Nathan to pack up and head to the Gold Coast a little bit easier.
He obviously done it for his teammates.
He's done it for his teammates, because he didn't do it for the board.
No, it's a long preseason, Dan. When they've got a team like that together.
Let's be honest, that's a premiership winning.
Yeah, side. Definitely. We both put them in our top eight this year.
And I don't know, top four.
Yeah, well, top four, there you go. I think the board has done completely wrong. They need to take a good hard look at themselves, because they've ruined a year for, footy players who potentially could have been premiers this year. They still can be now, which touches on, what do you think about the points deduction?
Well, it's fair. They had to lose the points. So playing with a side that was cheating by the letter of the law, which they were. You can't take away anything that they won, because they haven't really won anything except for points. So that was fair. To shed the players, again, to get under the salary cap is fair. But I hated the way it all went down.
Look, and we know it wasn't the players. We know it was the board and how they went about it. But look, we go back a couple of years about Melbourne Storm and Craig Bellamy and their boys just not making any points that year.
If you do remember that, it was pretty sad to watch those games.
Yeah.
There was just an empty feeling every time the Melbourne Storm were playing. I know teams were stacking the sides with reserves as well, and it was kind of a bit of a joke at the end of the day.
I think this is where the NRL has to set a precedent, though. What we got to stay on one thing, one rule, and we like to change everything too much every year, and I hate to see it. I thought they should have played for no points, and I know that's annoying. But
you want them to go the rest of the year with no points?
Well, I just reckon that's what, if Melbourne Storm did it, I reckon they should do it too. If you cheat, you cheat.
Well, if they make the top eight, who's the ninth team's going to be kicking up a stink, aren't they?
Exactly.
What if it's the,
What if they win it?
Well, can they win it? Is that
They can. That's what I mean. What if they win it? What if they go the whole length this year and win the grand final?
Well, it'd have to be a Leicester City miracle for them to make it. And
so you're saying it's 5,000, 6,000 to one?
I'm saying it's highly unlikely, but look, if they do, there's going to be all kinds of... let's just get to the top eight first. I mean, make the top eight, there's going to be a stink anyhow, and that ninth position team can have a right to feel good.
Yeah, I think they're a footy team who can come back and pull a rabbit out of the hat. You just got to be careful of them. They're a great football side. Yeah. Another person who's come out of their side, Kieran Foran, a bit of hardship at the moment for him. What do you see with that?
Well, I don't want to talk too much about him personally because, that's not the reason why he's taking this time off. He's taking time off because he obviously needs some help, and I don't think all the media stuff has been helping him.
No. Well, it helps no one.
No, it helps no one, and especially like when people are making stories up about him that, they've heard this, that and the other. I don't think any of the stories are helpful for someone who's gone through a tough time, so... All I could say is I really hope he gets his health together first and foremost. And
I heard on the grapevine he could be playing as of next week.
Well, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome because number one, it means his head's right in the right place.
Do you think he's been away long enough though?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what he's going through personally because I've never had to deal with that myself. Yeah. I know a lot of people who have, and I've heard mixed things. You know, he might be rushing back to try and help his teammates out.
Yeah. And maybe you're right. Maybe sometimes it is good to get around the boys and just get on with life. But
back to normal.
You don't know. There could be other things. So let's just hope Foz is all right. And
he's a champion player. You know, you'd want to see a champion go down. So
and you know what? He's not just a champion player. I've met him personally. He's a champion bloke as well.
He seems
so
like a champion
bloke. That's why it's hard to see someone like that struggle with that, Dan. So.
Should we talk about Origin a little bit? Because I just wanted to pick your thoughts on, again, we've been talking about it all year, but, mate, I don't think there's any closer to having the halves for the Blues, and Pierce has sort of taken himself out, which is probably a tough thing to do, but a good thing for him.
Well, there was an article the other day as well in the paper that says if he pulls out of the New South Wales Origin side, he can't play for the Roosters for that game.
That's just stupid.
That's just, yeah, I know.
He's only two games back and from a period where he was struggling a bit.
Look, I think it'll be common sense that Laurie would have talked to him already.
You
ready or not? And if he picks him, he will play. If he doesn't, he obviously won't play. But
you like Chad Townsend, don't you?
Yeah, I do like Chad. I do like Chad, but I think he's probably got a little... You know, if they're going to put someone in a jersey, and we say this every year for New South Wales, they need to keep him in the jersey.
Yep, stick him.
They got to stick there. They got to stay there for a couple of years. If you're going to blood some young boys,
well, would you go Maloney in Townsend?
You could because they're I don't mind that because then it takes the Sharks out of the
top three.
Exactly. But as in saying that, we've got a lot of boys who play for Queensland as well.
Yeah.
I think they would be great, but are they equipped to play the State of Origin style of footy where at the Sharks they play that ad-lib footy? I don't think you can play that in State of Origin.
I think Laurie Daly likes a bigger set of halves as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Chad Townsend's pretty slight and so's Maloney, so I'd be looking at maybe Caesar and Austin if he was going
to
go.
Well, I was just about to say that. Blake Austin,
he's
how he hasn't got the jersey last year, how he didn't get it last year.
Well, he scored a hat-trick, didn't he? And he didn't even get a look in on the bench.
So. I think whoever they picked in, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. We don't really care. We're Queenslanders.
We're going to win.
We've got... We don't have a halves problem, so it's not worrying us.
Well, we do have a halves problem. We've got to fit them all in.
That's the problem we do have. Who we got to back up? Benny Hunt, Anthony Milford.
We've got Morgan. Moses Mbaia.
Michael Morgan. DCE. We can make three sides.
We could have a big grade side run out and beat them.
I think this year it'll be if we don't win the first one, we'll win the next two. But if we win the first one, I reckon it's going to be a clean sweep.
Well, I'm excited about tonight, the big doubleheader at Suncorp. Of course, it's a home game for Manly, so that's a bit unusual. Are you going to be shooting the T-shirts?
Nah, not tonight. Not for me, Dan. I get a break.
You get a break?
A week off.
So it's literally a Manly home game, isn't it?
Boys have to be in the other sheds.
Wow. That's really bizarre.
It's boys have to be in the other sheds, so it's a tough one. It's a tough gig, but you just deal with it. Actually went to dinner with Daly, Cherry Evans.
How's he feeling? He's got a lot of pressure on him, doesn't he?
He does, mate. When you're worth $10 million, you're going to be low.
I hope he paid.
He did, actually. He did.
He'd want to.
He did, actually. No, I gave him a little bit of cash, and he tried to push it out of my hand, but he's only weighs about 50 kilos, so I just resold him and put it in his pocket.
Mate, he's not short of a quid. You should have let him pay.
If there's any viewers out there, anyone listening, he's just a great lad.
Is he?
He's an absolute top bloke.
He's a little fella, eh?
He's an absolute top bloke, and he's one of my best mates. So me, Jack Reed, and Matt Gillette. It's really weird to do that, you know, before a game. The boys are going to be playing each other. So it's weird to do that, go to dinner and be, you know, be playing each other. But that's how close we are. We played footy together, and his family's amazing, and he's just a top bloke.
Yeah, he's a wonderful player. And look, you know, I'm only messing around there. He deserves everything he can get in the game, because, as you know, your careers are only as long as they are in rugby league, so make as much as you can while you can. I hope he's not finished in Origin football, because he did show what he's capable of.
I don't think he is. I think Manly are just having a little bit of struggles at the moment at there. But look, Daly, if you got any spare cash around, mate, I'm looking for a loan. So with no interest,
mate, he could sponsor the show himself, couldn't he? He could be brought to you by Daly Cherry Evans, a sports talk.
I'm looking for a couple of third-party deals, so he might have to chip in for us.
Awesome.
That's us done for another week. 9 a.m. next Saturday, you can catch us. If you've got any feedback, hit us on Facebook or email. I'm Jarrell Yao Yee. Have a good weekend.
Sports Talk with Jarrell Yao Yee, a celebration and analysis of all codes and sports from First Nations sportsmen and women.